Hello. Welcome to the Unity Spiritual Center of Albuquerque podcast featuring the Reverend Gordon Kyler or occasionally a guest speaker. You can find us online at uscabq.org or by searching for Unity Spiritual Center Albuquerque on Facebook or YouTube. You can visit us in person at 9800 Candelaria Road Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And now, Reverend Gordon Kyler.
Well, good morning. Today we're going to talk a little bit more serious than usual on a Sunday morning. Because one of the things that we're dealing with as a community, as a society, as a nation, and as a world is all the stuff that's happening right now. You know that old proverb, may you live in interesting times? I am almost 67 years old, and these are the most interesting times I have lived in. I don't know about you. But we're going to dive into this and talk about what it means to put our faith in action. How do we, as people of faith, engage in the world around us in a constructive way, especially when things feel chaotic or divided or even overwhelming? Let's be honest. There's a lot happening in our nation and our world right now. But as Unity teaches us, we do not run away from the world. We show up. We show up spiritually equipped, heart-centered, and ready to be the light. Am I right?
Yes.
Good. I'm glad you're all with me on this. There's a big debate happening even among Unity ministers and in our movement right now about what do we do? How can we be part of this unfolding that is happening behind the scenes? So many of us get caught up in our news feeds and all the things, the rumors and stories and facts that are floating around out there. The debate is, what do we do now? Well, the answer is actually quite easy. But in order to find that answer, it helps to understand what unity is and what it is not, what our faith is and what it is not. So let's start with looking at what is unity and what is unity not. Well, unity is not a religion in the traditional sense of the word. Some of you may have noticed that. It's a spiritual movement. Charles Fillmore never said we are a denomination. In fact, we didn't start out as a church at all. He said, we are a spiritual movement that transcends churches, that transcends religion, that brings us back to the spiritual teachings of the great teachers, including Jesus the Christ. That's where our rooting is, because we're a Western culture, and that was the dominant religion of the day when Charles was exploring all these things. But one of the things that is universal is that we are all guided by understanding that Christ's presence lives within every human being. Now, when we say that, we don't mean the religious Christ. We mean the Sanskrit word, Christ, which came down to us, and it originally means the light. We understand that that light of the Creator, that light of divinity, that light of God, that light of Allah, whatever you choose to call it, lives in every human being regardless of religion. Even if they don't practice a religion, light, love, and wisdom is built into us. It's like the spaghetti sauce. Remember, it's in there. It's in every one of us, always has been and always will be. We believe in positive, practical approaches to spirituality. How do we engage in life today? How do we use our spiritual principles to change things, to lift up the world? Another thing we do is we honor all paths to God. And we know that the world does not change from the top down. It changes from inside out. And that inside starts where? Very good. It starts in each one of us. We're not here to escape reality. We are here to transform it with the light of spiritual awareness. Charles Fillmore wrote, unity is the truth that teaches us not what to think, but how to think. That's why we don't have dogma. We have some core beliefs, but they're universal. We want people to learn how to think, because each of us brings our own unique flavor to the world. Each of us brings something special. Charles Fillmore wrote this: "There is one great miracle cure for all the world's problems, love. Loving ourselves is where it starts, because loving ourselves works miracles in our lives, and then we can see the light in those around us and empower them to discover the love in them, to love themselves. I believe truly the number one problem behind all the political strife, behind all the religious strife, behind all the racial strife, behind every kind of strife and separation there is caused by a lack of love of ourselves." In the Bhagavad Gita, it says, before I go to the Bhagavad Gita, I'm going to go to Myrtle Film or Louise Hay. "Love is the great miracle cure. Loving ourselves works miracles in our lives. And when those miracles occur, it spreads. And others discover their love and their own miracles." In the Bhagavad Gita, it says this: "You have the right to perform your duty, but not the fruits of your actions." What does that mean? Yeah, I hear that. What? Well, the story is Lord Krishna is imparting a profound teaching here, teaching on the principle of detached action. And here's the essence of what it means. It emphasizes that every individual has the right and responsibility to discover their own love, to perform their own duties and actions from that place of love, conscientiously and diligently. However, the focus should be solely on living from our place of love, of fulfilling what is ours to do without attachment to the outcome. In other words, to release the fruits of those actions. This teaching encourages us to engage in responsibilities with dedication and sincerity, but to relinquish this idea that we are the only ones who are right, that is our way or else. Because in that place, in that understanding, we can begin to build bridges. When, what if there's another way? I have an idea of how things should be. I bet you do too. Am I right? Of course, we're human beings, but if we can get to that understanding through our heart center, that maybe between what I think is right and what you think is right, there's something greater waiting to be discovered. That's the core of every great teaching, that when love is engaged between two people or more people, a way that is unknown appears, a way that is higher and finer than anything we can imagine. This underscores the idea and the process and the quality of our actions, that rather than being fixated on results, they are focused on discovering inner peace, equanimity, and spiritual growth for all human beings. In essence, this promotes the concept of performing service or action selflessly without being driven by a desire for a specific outcome. Jesus shared the same teaching, the same idea when he talked about trust, surrender, and right action without being obsessed with outcomes. In the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or what your body will be clothed in, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Now, the kingdom of God was not something you earn by accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He never actually ever said that. It's not about being particularly religious or belonging to a specific religion. It's about discovering that kingdom of consciousness that is within you and within every human being. He encouraged us to focus on living rightly, and that was not some human being's definition of what is right and what is wrong. Living rightly means living in that flow, that energy of love and light, being grounded in that consciousness, seeking the kingdom, rather than being anxious or upset about outcomes or material results. In Matthew, he said, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." He wasn't talking about God is watching you. I saw what you did there, dude. No. He was saying Father, which is higher consciousness, recognizes when we are coming from that place of love. And there's a release of energy between us and others that builds bridges, that heals, that raises us beyond expectations. Releases us from attachment to outcomes or clinging to only one possible result when there's an infinite number. Both of these teachings are about living in faith, doing our part, and letting go of controlling circumstances and results, trusting that there is something greater at work. We can call it God, we can call it spirit, we can call it divine order, we can call it rising in consciousness. But whatever we call it, something greater is unfolding. In Unity teachings, this idea of attaching without expectation fits with our core principles. The first, divine order. There is a natural flow and an order to all life that unfolds perfectly when we are aligned with spirit. And when we do our best to be in that consciousness, releasing the outcomes, miracles happen. Miracles happen in that consciousness. Miracles don't happen when we say, it has to be this way. This is the only way. I'm right and you're wrong. Am I right? Oh, you were supposed to say, no, nobody's right. Nobody's wrong. We often talk in Unity about how right thinking leads to right action. But right action comes from that place of being in that higher consciousness. When our consciousness is centered in love, in wisdom, in faith, our actions naturally express those qualities. Just like the juniper naturally expresses pollen. We are called to focus on being and doing from our highest place, our highest self, and leaving the results to spirit. That brings in faith and non-resistance. Charles Fillmore talked a lot about the power of faith and non-resistance, about trusting in the process, about not struggling against what is and allowing spirit to work through us, bringing forth what will be. And the Buddhists call it detachment or non-attachment. Stop trying to control everything. We achieve prosperity through inner alignment, and our prosperity teachings, you know, so often in our materialistic world are all about materiality. And certainly prosperity encompasses having our basic needs met. But it also is an abundance of health, an abundance of love, an abundance of right relationships, an abundance of joy. We had a lot of that here Friday night. Did we not? Yeah. Yes. In short, Unity invites us to focus on living from our own Christ nature. Doing good because it's who we are, not because of what we think we'll get out of it. Trusting in spirit, not in outcomes. So how does this idea then fit in the desire to be politically active as a spiritual community? I get people all the time saying, Gordon, when are we going to go out and march? How do we stand spiritually for justice, compassion, and dignity? We act from principle, not fear. We engage politically as individuals because it's an expression of spiritual values, like love, like fairness, like unity, and the sacred worth of all people, all people, even the guys in the hats. Not because we're trying to control outcomes out of fear or anger, but because we are committed but not attached. So what do? We pray first, always. We pray first for divine guidance. And then we follow that guidance and we do the work. We show up, we advocate, we vote, we educate, which is what we do mostly in Unity, is we educate. How do I use spiritual principles to discover my true self and to uplift the world and uplift those around me? We stand for truth, but we let go of clinging to it has to be this way. My truth may not be somebody else's truth. I learned that Friday night when I put on the habit and felt how hot it was. My truth would not be to dress like that. Yes. Yeah, and you were wearing a whole lot more than I was for 3 hours. In other words, we empower the individual to give our full heart to the cause, whatever that cause may be, but we trust spirit with the bigger unfolding. We lead with love and compassion, not with reaction, which is what happens all too often when a church takes one side or another. I truly believe, and I have seen it the last 8 years, that that's one of the biggest problems churches face right now. The ones that closed are the ones that took one side and said, we are right and everybody else is wrong. Now, I don't agree with everything that other people are doing out there. They don't resonate with my consciousness. And I bet they don't resonate with yours either. But I recognize that there's a lot going on. And I recognize that I can be an effective force for change in the world if I tune in to spirit first. You know, I truly believe the downfall of Christianity for 1,600 years is that idea that we're right and everybody else is wrong. I truly believe that is why churches are closing right and left. We're not. We're still here. Yes. Because we strive to not get caught up in this idea of us versus them. Instead, we act from love. We speak from love, even towards those we disagree with. And we trust that love is a transforming power. We remember our spiritual identity first. Think about this. Before you were a Democrat, before you were a Republican, before you were an independent or anything else, what are you? You're an expression of the divine. Before you were any other label, you are an expression of the divine. So our activism then becomes an act of spiritual service, not necessarily seeking to win over to others, but to lift the collective consciousness, because that's where the healing happens. When we lift the consciousness, we heal divisions. When we lift the consciousness, we heal wounds. We heal relationships. We bring the light of understanding, and we reignite compassion, empathy, and unity. In unity terms, we engage fully, passionately, and lovingly in the world while releasing our need to force or control the outer outcome, because we know something even greater is waiting to unfold. We trust that spirit is working through our sincere actions, even if the results are not immediate. To put that into one simple phrase, we act from love, we serve from faith, and we trust spirit with the results. So that's what we do here in Unity. We practice what we preach. We practice those five principles that we talk about all the time. They're not just words on a wall. They're tools for life. The first, God is good and everywhere present. Even in those bad things that are happening. That's not what spirit wants, but God is present. And our job is to look for that presence and move from that place, work from that consciousness. Where is God in this? Maybe God is calling to us to rise up. Maybe God is calling to us to speak up. Maybe God is calling us to stand up, even in things we don't like, even in things we don't agree with, even in times that are hard. Because we remember the second principle that we are all divine in nature. We are all perfect, whole, and complete in truth, if not always in expression. And probably not always in expression. Why? Why do we do this? Because we know our third principle, which is we create our experiences by the activity of our thinking. And we can change our experiences by the activity of our thinking. How? We look for the good. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Those people that are doing those terrible, terrible things to people, and that is happening, we don't deny that. They have forgotten the truth of who they are. A funny thing happens when we forget our truth. We lose our power. And when we lose our power, what do we have to do? We have to get it from somebody else. When in truth, we have all the power we will ever need in life. We have all the love we will ever need. We have all the joy we will ever need, except we've forgotten. And so when somebody forgets, they try to get it from others. Or they're afraid they'll lose what little they have left, and they react out of fear of the other. That person's going to take this from me. Our job is to reawaken them to their truth and their beauty, and remind them, you are beautiful, you are wondrously made, you have all the power you ever needed, you have all the love. Remember, I think one of the most powerful words we can use is remember. Remember the truth of who you are. And then we use prayer and meditation that connects us to this inner wisdom that is calling to us to remember, that is calling to us to help others remember. Can you imagine what the world would look like if everybody remembered and knew that they were God expressing, that they were love, that they had power, that they were filled with joy? What would the world look like then? I don't think we'd even need governments at that point. Probably wouldn't need churches either. That would not necessarily be a bad thing. I would miss you all. But we could find other ways to gather. So what does it mean when it comes to engaging with the world and the events that are going on around us? It means we respond, not react. I've always been intrigued with those words, respond and react. When we react, we are reacting what is occurring or what is being done. I don't want to react what's being done. I want to take a responsibility. That's where the word respond comes from. And my responsibility is to help be that force for change. It means we listen more than we argue. Have you noticed that people you argue with don't hear anything you say? It doesn't do any good. It means we live by spiritual principle, not political opinion. I look around and I see so many of you who are stepping up. You're taking meals to people who need food. You're holding space for peace. You're supporting outreach programs. You know, one of the biggest problems we have in this area right here is homelessness. And many of you may have noticed that we have two particular people who live around our building. Brian and Sean. How many of you know their names? Dixie, Lewis, and Clark are their dogs. How many of you know that? How many of you have ever grabbed a burrito out of the refrigerator and taken them one? Yeah, Michael has. I have. Some of us have. Yes. Those are little things, but they make a difference. How many of us have ever told them, remember, you are worthy. You are worthy. Maybe we ought to put that on our sign out front. You are worthy, everybody. So we don't have to get out there and yell and scream and march. but we're not passive. We are peaceful and we are powerful. So what don't we do? You know, I know there's a desire to go out there and take violent action, to overthrow things, to overturn things. Somebody said to me not too long ago, well, with all that's going on, it's just business here at Unity, as usual here at Unity. Yes, it is business as usual at Unity, because our business is about changing things from the inside out, not from anger, not from fear, not from hatred, not from violence. Now, this doesn't mean you can't go out and protest. By all means, go out and protest, march, do whatever your spirit calls you to do. Use your spiritual principles in the process. Ask for divine guidance. Say, what am I being led to do here, God? What is mine to do? Respond from love. We're not here to be against anything. We are here to be for truth. We are here to be for love. We are here to be for healing, and we are here to be for justice. Think about this. Jesus did not organize against Rome. He didn't lead protests against the temple. What he did, he empowered individuals to wake up to their own inner divinity, to become fully alive. And that is what we are here to do. I think it was Mother Teresa who said, "You may never know what results come from your actions, but if you do nothing, there will be no result." Or maybe it was Gandhi, I don't know. Doesn't matter. They were both brilliant people. So what can we do? What can we do, especially in this moment when things feel so divided? We ask, what is mine to do? We live from stillness and clarity. And from there, we can enter into heart-centered conversations. We can serve at a local level. We can vote our values. We can pray for our leaders, even and especially those we don't agree with. I know, it's hard. I know, but we can do it. We can stay grounded in spiritual principle. We don't wait for someone else to fix the world. We start with ourselves. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. Let your light shine." We forget about that part. Let your light shine. Because when your light shines, you kindle the flame of somebody else's light. When you do it from the heart. He also said, "Blessed is the peacemaker, for they will be called the children of God." And the Buddha said, "A generous heart, kind speech, and a life of service and compassion, these are the things that renew humanity." So what is our spiritual practice for the week then? What can we do? Well, we can start with an affirmation. How about, "I am the hands and heart of God in action"? Let's say that together. I am the hands and heart of God in action. We can start with meditation. Going into meditation, before watching the news maybe, and ask, "How can I stay rooted in love?" Or if you're into journaling, you can prompt your journal with, "Where can I bring my faith into action this week?" The point is, we are not powerless. We are powerful beyond measure, not because of our opinions, but because of our presence. Faith is not passive. Faith is alive. Faith is action. So let's go out this week living as expressions of truth, of love, and compassion. I'm going to share with you a prayer that, God willing, and my technology being good, will be live on in our app this afternoon. It's called the Prayer for Spirit-Led Action. If you're comfortable, go ahead and close your eyes and make this prayer your own. Divine Presence, you are the source of wisdom, courage, and compassion. As I step forward into action, I do so anchored in love, guided by faith, and committed to truth. I release the need to control outcomes, and instead, I open my heart to be a vessel of your good. May my words uplift, may my actions heal, May my presence remind the world of the sacred worth of all people. I affirm, I act from principle, not fear. I serve from love, not anger. I trust in divine order beyond what I can see. In all I do, I seek first the kingdom within, and I know that right outcomes are unfolding through Spirit's infinite wisdom. I am willing, I am guided, I am blessed, I am a blessing, and so it is. Namaste.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to support this podcast, you may do so at uscabq.org.